Croker kicked nothing into the speculative stew. He just sat around looking smug and more relaxed than I'd seen in years. Lady sat beside him, and she looked pretty good, too. Like she'd gotten some real sleep for once. I told her, "I want to talk to you when you get a few minutes. I don't have hardly anything about you to put down." She sighed, said, "I don't think I could tell you anything interesting." I could use smoke to study her back trail, but that wouldn't tell me what she was thinking. She asked Croker, "Why do you look like the cat who stole the cream?" "Because Long Shadow and Howler didn't come back." He looked at me. He wanted to know why, but not right now. It could wait, and because you have. After her rest, she seemed none the worse for wear, despite her head-to-head with Kina, or whatever that was. "Because now they're just going to hide out and overlook while Long Shadow tries to cobble together something from garrisons and militias made up of men who'd rather not get involved at all." He was still the Shadow Master. He hadn't played his trumps to their limit, and the walls of Overlook were 100 feet high. I hoped Croker didn't think all we had to do now was coast. "You notice he hasn't really said shit," Swan grumbled to Blade. He had not had any trouble accepting his buddy back. Some of the men could not believe the whole defection had been a swindle, especially those who'd had relatives among the temple troops Blade had exterminated. "The son of a bitch flat ain't going to tell nobody what he's up to. Not even you and me. He's got tricks up his sleeve, and we've got to find out about them, same as any poor dork that they're going to happen to." He stared at Lady sadly for a moment, unable to see what she saw in the old man. I'd wondered that a few times myself, before Sari and I fell in love. It doesn't have to make sense. Just pray for the freedom to indulge it. Speaking of limits to freedom, my in-laws were still missing, except for Ty Day, of course. He was there, even when my shadow was gone. Blade laughed at Swan's sourness. He was a changed man after his adventure. He had found his niche. "You really want to know? You'd better borrow those books from Mergen. They say it's all in there if you know where to look." Mergen lied. "Good plan." But Mergen didn't bring the books along. Except for the one he hasn't been working on enough lately. Swan's comment was brief and obscene. Like Mogaba, he didn't know how to read. Blade suggested, "Get Mergen Big Ears to tell it to you. He can quote chapter and verse almost as good as Croker. He's Croker's hand-picked boy." The old Blade didn't have a sense of humor. I wasn't sure I liked this one better. He was not interested in being funny. "I'll do it if the pay is right," I told them. "Us mercenary types don't do diddly unless we get paid." I did have to put some thought into staying away from smoke long enough to get some solid notes made. Charandaprash was a critical juncture in company history. I wasn't doing it justice. And when I did go walking with the ghost, I would have to concentrate on things I really needed to observe. I could not go just to get away from the pain. The pain was not so all-devouring anymore. Maybe a couple of brushes with Kina were the cure for romantic excess. "Tai Dei," I said softly, and in Yuan Bao, to show this was merely a personal matter, not business. "What does it mean when a Yuan Bao woman wears white?"
"Ai,"
he seemed surprised.
"I don't understand, brother."
"I just remembered a dream I had a couple nights ago. Somebody